Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He could play like an angel, but offstage he had his demons too. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today a new look at legendary Russian violinist Yasha Heifetz, plus the melodramatic mustachioed world of Chap-Hop, and a live performance from the West Coast folkies known as Blind Pilot. But to begin, Yasha Heifetz was undoubtedly the most revered violinist of the 20th century. He is widely regarded as one of the greatest violinists of all time. He died in 1987, and until recently, only a few people knew much about what lay underneath his rather stony exterior. A new documentary called God's Fiddler explores the lesser-known side of the master's life. And joining me now is the maker of that film, Peter Rosen. Peter, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks. Nice to be here, John.
We're talking about 2011, and this is really the first documentary about this this major figure in the music world.
Yeah, you know, I was amazed at that myself because when actually somebody approached me about doing this project, I didn't think it up myself. And I, you know, what you do at the beginning of a project, you Google the name. And nothing came up on Google about Yasha Heifetz. A couple of books that actually weren't that well received. Some early Hollywood black and white shorts that were made in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a few performance things here or there that you see on YouTube. But there was no documentary and no in-depth definitive film about Heifetz.
Having finally made that documentary, why do you think it took so long?
Why it took so long? He was a really private person, you know. And so, for example, recently a beautiful film on Glenn Gould came out,
right,
played here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I envied those filmmakers who were up in – friends of mine up in Toronto because they had endless hours of Glenn Gould hamming it up before the cameras, reading his poetry, practicing in the studio. They must have had, I don't know, 800 hours of Glenn Gould. Because Heifetz was so private, there was very little – to work on, and so it's possible that people never wanted to tackle the subject.
Well, people did sort of view him as if from a distance, and possibly he wanted it that way. He was aware of his kind of godlike status among devotees of the violin, wasn't he?
I'm sure. You know, I never met the man. This project came to me way after he died in 87, but we did interview almost all of his students that have survived. Some compatriots, mm-hmm, violinists who are still around who worked with Heifetz and knew him well. And that really was that's what we got from them, that he had his own distance for everybody.
So he was an amazing violinist, but, you know, let's face it, there are lots of amazing figures out there. What was it about Heifetz as a person that was so remarkable?
You know, what's really interesting, which I kind of discovered as we started this, in piano, you can debate forever who the greatest pianist was. It could be, you know, whether it's Richter or Gilels or Van Cliburn. In opera, that debate goes on forever, mm-hmm, whether it's Pavarotti or Caruso. When we began to talk to violinists, it was always Heifetz. I don't think I met anyone who disputed that fact. So there had to be something there, and I think part of our exploration in, you know, making this film, whether we were successful or not, I don't know. We'll see how the public reacts when we open the film a week from today, Friday. But, you know, whether we were successful or not, I think it's really trying to find out why, you know, he was had that stature. Why was he put on a pedestal, and what were the consequences of being in the spotlight your whole life? What,
yeah,
does that do?
Well, as Peter Rosen just said, in Yasha Heifetz's case, it was his whole life. I mean, if we go back to this early recording from the Victor Talking Machine Company, which would later become RCA Victor, this is Yasha Heifetz performing a work by Henryk Wieniawski called A Polish Winter at the age of 17.
Thank you.
a 1918 recording by a 17-year-old Jascha Heifetz, music by the Polish composer Henryk Wieniawski, A Polish Winter. So he's 17 years old. Peter Rosen, the creator of the documentary God's Fiddler, Jascha Heifetz, with me on Soundcheck today. He's 17 in this recording. He's already made his American debut at the age of 16, and he's been playing professionally for like 12 years at this point.
You know, exactly. Heifetz was pretty much Heifetz by the age of 5. He had played all over Russia. He had played in Germany, had 19,000 people heard him play in Odessa. And actually, it's one of the problems, John, in making this film when we first thought about it. If the story ends there, when he becomes the great violinist at the age of, let's say, 10 maybe, what do you do for the rest of the story? So it really was one of our issues that we tried to kind of figure out in trying to tell this story, because, you know, there is not that usual three-act structure where the first act is the growth period and then there's a conflict in the second act and a resolution in the third. Our story was over by the time he was, let's say, 17 years old and after the Carnegie Hall debut.
Well, his professional story, perhaps.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then there's the personal story. I mean, by the age of 17, he has set such a remarkable standard, such a high bar, he has to be able to leap over that bar for the rest of his career.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably what drew us towards the personal material and the personal side of this and seeking people out who actually did know a little bit of the real person. And because we didn't have a story about a musician, really, that you couldn't tell in the first act.
Right. And so the story of the person becomes that of this guy who is constantly having to attain perfection, because that's what we have come to expect from
him. Yeah, and I think it's also about the sacrifices you make when you are on a pedestal like that. Mm. And if everything has to be perfect, and if people came to these concerts because they knew they were going to hear perfection, that has to have some downside for the artist himself in this case, I would think.
And for him as a person, you know, is there an analogy to be drawn here to Michael Jackson? You know, thrust in front of on a global stage while still a kid, growing up in front of us, and then hitting adulthood and having some kind of issues dealing with it?
Yeah, you know, I never thought of that until you mentioned it now, but there is certainly a parallel there. And, you know, with all the prodigies, they obviously had difficult and to some extent abusive childhoods. Heifetz's father was an abusive father. Hmm. Made him practice all the time. He hardly had the chance to go out and be a normal boy.
There's a quote from Heifetz. He says, "I had to wait until I was a young man before I could act like a child," which I guess was his way of excusing some fairly flamboyant behavior for the day.
Yeah, I would have to say that all of the quotes in the film we have put into somewhat dramatic language that we knew we could work with. But there's no doubt that Heifetz said something along those lines that we developed that particular mm-hmm. line from.
And so he became known as a bit of a playboy and...
Yeah, I mean, as we tell this story, it did become lead to our turning point. You know, every documentary, I think documentary is the same as fiction in a way. You just can't do a kind of Ken Burns survey. I'm talking about for a theatrical film, mm-hmm. for something mm-hmm. that's going to reach as wide an audience as possible. And so we looked for some sort of dramatic turning point early in the film. And certainly it was that, you know, somebody who was going to possibly waste this God-given talent to have this kind of wake-up call, which is the way we end the first act in the film.
Well, the wake-up call comes in 1921 when he gets a bad review from the New York Sun critic W.J. Henderson. And in this clip from Peter Rosen's documentary, God's Fiddler, Jascha Heifetz, we hear the voice of Ika August, a friend and former student of Jascha Heifetz, describing how this first bad review affected him.
Up until that time, he was always banking on his great talent and being able to get away with not practicing so much. But there was obviously a few or a handful of people who detected the lack of depth in his way of making music. It became sort of very superficial. And that was when he told me that he thought of suicide.
from the film God's Fiddler, Yasha Heifetz, by Peter Rosen, who's with me on soundcheck. Remembrance of a real turning point. So he thinks about suicide, obviously chooses instead to do what?
Well, you know, let me first say one thing, John, about Ika August, because I think without her, we probably would not have had this documentary. And again, when I was mulling this over and seeing whether the project was really feasible, and I didn't think it was for some of the reasons we talked about, I read her book, which the New York Times called the best book ever written about a musician, Heifetz as I Knew Him. And that was almost like a eureka moment for me. Late at night, I turned the last page and I said, if I could find her and if she's willing to work with us and tell her story and we could do Heifetz's story, in a sense, through her eyes, because she spent she was his constant companion, accompanist, and best friend, I would venture to say, for the last 17 years of his life until the day he died. So once we knew we had access to Ika and I could work with her out in Los Angeles where she lived and go to Heifetz's beach house in Malibu, at that point I knew we had a film. Now, what was the question again? Well, sorry to sidetrack it.
The question is, you know, he's thinking, he tells her he's thinking of suicide, and instead he kind of doubles down, doesn't he? He's like, gets back to work.
Yeah, this was really our turning point. The famous Heifetz short hair, the exquisite ties and suits that people got to know for the next 60 years almost of his life happened overnight. He cut his hair, he changed his clothes, and he somehow made a decision to fulfill this God-given mandate that, that he had. And that's really what the rest of the story is all about.
And this kind of chilly exterior, we begin to see that in the wake of this period as well.
Yeah, you know, we didn't want to put a lot of psychobabble into the movie. Yeah. You see that a lot in documentaries, too, and it sort of turns me off a little bit. So you could, I mean, I think a psychiatrist would have a field day with why this person who played so beautifully and so emotionally on the outside surface was completely stoic and never showed any emotion in his face.
In this clip from the film God's Fiddler, we get to hear one of his former students and a former secretary of Yasha Heifetz describing just how formal Mr. Heifetz could be.
Fact of the matter is I only have known a handful of people who called him Yasha, and that was usually very, very old friends, like back from Russia. Closest one could get was Mr. H. Now, that was a great step forward. His pianist, Brooks Smith, he called him Mr. Heifetz.
There was on one occasion I took Mr. Heifetz to a dentist, and he was ushered into the examining room, sat in the chair, and the dentist came in saying, "Well, Yasha, how are you?" And Mr. Heifetz turned to the dentist and said, "Do I know you?" and got up and walked out.
So former student Andrew Granat and former secretary Adele Shapiro from Peter Rosen's new film called God's Fiddler, Yasha Heifetz. God's Fiddler is playing at New York's Quad Cinema beginning next Friday, 11/11. And Peter's here with me in the studio. And joining us by phone from Indiana is another former student of Yasha Heifetz, the violinist Sherry Kloss. Sherry, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
So what did you call Yasha Heifetz?
Oh, Mr. Heifetz.
And what was it like to be his student?
I will tell you from the get-go, I thought it was so appropriate when I heard you playing the Vinyavsky slow movement of the violin concerto. That was the very first piece that I heard Mr. Heifetz play. I was 8 years old, and my mother and dad came back from a shopping spree with that recording. I was a changed little girl. I played next to that recording until I could memorize it without the notes. He affected me at age 8, and when I came to him when I was 28 years old, Mr. Heifetz formed my future life.
Now, that must have been, on the one hand, an amazing experience. On the other hand, it must have been really intimidating. I mean, you're 28 years old, and for 20 years, this guy has been like this icon, this emblematic figure for you, and suddenly you're studying with him.
Well, you are right. I was living in New York in 1967, I believe that was the year, and a good friend of mine called me and said, Sherry, we must go to Carnegie Hall. Mr. Heifetz, Yasha Heifetz, is playing a concert. And he dragged me there. I probably wouldn't have gone on my own because I wasn't savvy enough to know. And we had standing room only seats at the top of the hall. And this man walked out and played the Konis Violin Concerto. It pierced my heart.
And when did you begin studying with him? Shortly thereafter?
I came to him in 1974, and that's after having traveled the world seeking learning. But somehow the map was pointing straight to California, and I found myself there. I auditioned for him. He told me I was too old. He said, I'm not sure that I can teach you. You know, you're old, you know.
And how old were you at this
point?
I was
27 years old.
So, but he eventually not only took you on, you became master assistant in charge of his violin class at USC. Sherry Kloss is on the line with us talking about Yasha Heifetz. We've been talking, Sherry, with Peter Rosen about this kind of chilly exterior that he presented to the world. Did you ever get a glimpse underneath that?
Absolutely. I tend to think that because of my own Eastern European background, I'm a first-generation American, that I understood Mr. Heifetz, and words were really not that necessary between us in the class, whether I was learning as a student or when I took on the role as a teaching assistant. And how else can one explain that a man like Yasha Heifetz would will his violin that he played in his American debut, will it to me in the newspaper I discovered it. He never told me.
Wow. So you inherited his violin?
I inherited his violin and two of his bows, but he never spoke of this with me. Doesn't that illustrate something very poignant?
Yeah, a man capable of real surprise. And Peter, in making the documentary, you uncovered a couple of surprises as well, that Yasha Heifetz had some very interesting extra-musical interests as well.
Well, sure. And, you know, we also, I think what we discovered in talking to his lawyer, that he wasn't too nice to his children. He actually, in his own will, which he hand-wrote, he cut his three children out of the will. Eventually, they came back to the estate after he died and sued the estate, and the same lawyer was quite generous and actually worked out a deal with them. But it was part of the life of Heifetz that didn't really show up in any of the books we read. We kind of were a little bit alienated from the family because they wanted to take that statement out of the film. And to us, it was, I think, an important aspect of a character we were trying to portray.
Well, and he was a character who was interested in electric cars, environmentalism, and in pop music. He had a pseudonym under which he composed songs, right?
Sure. Jim Hoyle.
J.H.
Since he already had a briefcase and luggage with the initials J.H. when he traveled, he didn't want to be known as Yasha Heifetz. He didn't like to give autographs. He didn't like to deal with the public at all, except as a performer. But the J.H. initial probably led him to think up the name Jim Hoyle.
And as Jim Hoyle, he co-wrote this song that Bing Crosby recorded called When You Make Love to Me.
When you make love to me, don't make believe. Don't give your lips to me and laugh up your sleeve. You're like an April day, first warm, then cool. You've got me feeling like a poor April fool.
Bing Crosby recording When You Make Love to Me, written by Jim Hoyle and Marjorie Gotcheus. Jim Hoyle was none other than the violinist Yasha Heifetz. And that's one of the many surprises we learned during the course of the film God's Fiddler, Yasha Heifetz, documentary by Peter Rosen, opening on Friday, November 11th at New York's Quad Cinema. Peter's here with me in the studio.
Sherry Kloss, violinist who inherited Yasha Heifetz's first violin and was his teaching assistant, is with us on the line. And Sherry, he had to end his active performing career because of a shoulder injury in the 70s. When you were studying with him, was he still actively playing or had he already suffered the injury?
Well, he had performed his final concert, I believe, a couple of years before I came to California, and he had the surgery the first year that I was there. And so he would come to class and he would ask one of the students to hold up his shoulder as he demonstrated.
Hmm.
And he didn't play publicly after that surgery, but he certainly played socially at chamber music parties and in class. And that was the most amazing thing. You asked me a question about intimidation before. I'm not sure that would be the word that I would use, because he was the type of teacher that would never demonstrate to show off, but rather only demonstrate after the student could not find the solution that he was looking for. And at that time, when he prepared himself to get up from behind the desk and walk over to his violin, you could hear a pin drop, because he would pick up the violin, whether it was in tune or not, he played perfectly in tune, and just rattle off something that he wanted to show. Just several notes, perhaps, and then he'd put the violin back and walk to his desk, and we were all so affected.
Well, he was God's fiddler, after all. Sherry Kloss, violinist, Yasha Heifetz's former teaching assistant at USC, has been with us on the line from Indiana. Really nice talking with you, Sherry. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for including me.
And Peter Rosen is the filmmaker behind this film, God's Fiddler, Yasha Heifetz, opening at the Quad Cinema next Friday, November 11th. Peter, it is a remarkable story, perhaps against all odds, as you may have thought setting out on it, but thanks for sharing it with us.
Well, thanks for letting us talk about it, John.
This is Soundcheck. In a moment, we present our new series, Genre Patrol, a look at the beats, rhymes, and very good manners in the genre known as chapop. And later, a live performance from this folk rock band called Blind Pilot.
Young enough to know to believe.